Hey there, everybody. God bless you. Why don't you give yourself a hand? Well, welcome to our very first live virtual advance. We're live and we're virtual. My name's Jerry Carr. I live here in New Jersey. I belong with Harbor Light Fellowship, but really with the Fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly couldn't be more blessed to do this. This is really exciting to have so many people from around the country and around the nations of the world. It's a historic time, really. It's thinking about this today in light of God's word moving over the world, and it's just something. We have 27 states, I think, represented, in addition to the Virgin Islands, and another 14 countries. Is that right? 14 different countries. So thanks for all showing up on the video or the TV or whatever we call it. I'm really blessed that we could all be here. Like Bob said, I'm going to share on joy a little bit, or if he didn't say it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to share on joy. This has been a really tough year for the world. This year has been an extremely tough year on the world with all this, the corona thing and all those spirits that go with it. And it's hurt a lot of people in this world. It's damaged people. It's killed people. And for that, my heart is not joyful. It's sad. But we have the joy of the Lord. And we're going to look at this tonight. And the reason I wanted to do the theme, A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine, is because it's such a need. It's affected us as believers. Maybe not to certainly not to the degree that it's affected people in the world, but it has had an effect on us. It's kept people apart and things like that, which are awful and still is in some places in the world. But this is going to be a really edifying, tremendously blessed weekend because of the subject matter. It's hard to get too heavy or too sad when you're teaching on merry hearts. So some of the things that I'll be looking at this week are joy and rejoicing, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, enjoying our relationship with God, the doctrine of the mystery. How about this one? Being happy. Being happy. Another one, be of good cheer. Another one, the joy of deliverance. Another, the power of a thankful heart. Another one is doing God's word and having fun. And fellowship is the secret. So you can see that this weekend is going to be a happy time. It should be an incredibly happy time in God's word together. So if you'd like to go to 3 John, that's where we're going to start. 3 John. It's after 2 John. It's after 1 John. And it's after Genesis. There's a tremendous dictionary in America called the Noah Webster Dictionary. And his definition of joy, I thought, was interestingly great. It says, the passion or the emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. In other words, you're expecting good. You're acquiring what's good. Like this weekend, we're getting what's good. It's the excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, caused by good fortune, is what he says. Having what we love or what we desire, that brings joy in our lives. When we get what we want, when we get what we love, when we get what we desire, we become joyful. We become blessed, happy. It means gladness. It means happy. It means delighted. It means glorious and triumphant and being in a triumphant state. Isn't it great to be victorious in something? It's a bunch of baloney when we get beat up and we get defeated. That is no fun. But when we succeed, when we are victorious, we're joyful. I used to be an athlete. And when we won, it was just such a great feeling amongst the whole team. Whether you played the whole game or not, we as a team enjoyed success. It's like that with believers. In Wilson's Old Testament word study, joy means to be glad or to be cheerful, happy, smiling. It means a cry or a shout of joy, a shout of victory. It means a shout of exultation. It's a shout of victory. Bullinger's lexicon says, lexicon would mean it's over. Sorry. To delight, gladness, merriment, to rejoice exceedingly with song and dance. Get funky like a bald head monkey. Debbie Penna wrote this. She said, it's like a child that receives the toy that they've always wanted for Christmas. They're so delighted. They're so blessed. They're so happy. They rejoice. They might shout out for joy, I got Barbie, until 3 months later and they break it. But that's what she shared, so don't blame me. Third John, verse 4. So we're going to look at joy. It says in verse 4, I have no greater what?
Joy
than to hear that my children walk in the truth. God has no greater merriment. He has no greater delight. He has no greater gladness. He has no greater joy than to hear that his children, which you and I are, walk in the truth. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we know that God Almighty is the author of his word. And as we walk in the truth, walk in the light as he is in the light, God gets overjoyed. And I know that's a figure of speech, but we know what joy means. And it's supposed to communicate to us that God is happy about our walks. Let's look at the first usage in 1 Samuel, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Ephesians, Deuteronomy, Romans, Judges, 1 Samuel. Very good. First usage here, chapter 18 of 1 Samuel and verse 6. And it came to pass, verse 6, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing, dancing, to meet King Saul. They had the tabrets with joy, instruments of music. They were laughing, they were cheering, they were dancing, they were rejoicing, they were playing music. Why? Because God overcame the enemy, that's why. And that's a time to rejoice. That's a time to delight. That's a time to be merry. That's a time to be happy. That's a time to be blessed. When God does something so fantastic to defeat the enemy, and our enemy is the adversary. It's not the ites, the Peshites, the Samurites, the Samurai swords. No, it's not any of the ites. Our enemy is the adversary. It's not people, it's the adversary. And when we overcome the adversary by applying God's word, God's happy and we're happy because he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the truth. These women, they were women, they were dancing. Can you imagine? Let's imagine for a moment what that must have looked like. Wow, that was a good thought. They defeated the Philistines and they celebrated with music. They celebrated with merriment. They celebrated with joy. They celebrated victory. In Hebrew, again, it means joy. It means mirth. It means gladness. It means pleasure. It means a happy issue. How about that? What's a happy issue? This was a happy issue. They had a nice issue. There's other issues in the word that weren't so happy. Issue of blood comes to mind. But this word joy means happy issue. This word joy means pleasure. If you don't know me, it's fine. You'll get over it. Go to 1 Kings, which is before 2 Kings. How's that? 1 Kings 1. I keep threatening to go to South America. But of course, they won't let me go there now because they don't let anybody go there. One of these days, I'm going to come get you. and then all I'll need to do is understand you. Or you understand me. That'll be good. Verse 40, it says, and all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes. They piped with pipes. Can you imagine piping with a pipe? And they rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. They celebrated with music the announcement of Solomon becoming king. They were so blessed. And you know, this reminds me I don't know how many years ago it was, Bob or Albert in here anyway, when you got ordained, was it 12 years? 13 years. 13 years ago at an advance where everybody was there, about 400 people were there. We had an ordination service where we ordained Bob Chatton, Alberto Pena, and Dean Mercado, which is a very big responsibility and privilege. And the whole church that was there at the time celebrated with the reception. We had every one of the 400 people shake their hands and congratulate them. And it was just a happy time because God's men were ordained to the Christian church with gifts to the church that would profit them. Quite a celebration. King Solomon was getting announced. They celebrated. They rejoiced with music. First Chronicles, it's after Kings. You'll notice that I'm going in kind of an order, and it'll stay that way throughout the next 4 hours, give or take. Of course, you guys at home can all go to bed and say, well, I thought that was a great teaching. He taught on joy. Verse 16 of chapter 15. Verse 16, and it says, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. You know, music's a big deal. The reason we sing it before fellowship isn't because it's just the thing to do. It's something that God likes. He likes singing. He likes dancing. He likes all that. Verse 25, look at. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of that place with joy. They finally got the Ark back, and the Ark contained the scriptures. They celebrated with music. They celebrated with song because they had the Word of God back where it belonged. And that is something to celebrate. That is really something to celebrate, something that we should celebrate every time we read the word. First Chronicles 29. Today's been some kind of day. In anticipation for this, it's just always amazing to me. First Chronicles 29 in verse 9. It says, and then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. Because with perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David, the king, also rejoiced with what? David rejoiced because they gave willingly. Look at verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly also unto thee. They gave willingly and they rejoiced with great joy. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians 9. They didn't give grudgingly nor of what? Necessity. For God loveth what kind of giver? A cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, somebody who gives willingly, not because they feel they have to, not because they feel they ought to, not because somebody's watching them. They give willingly, not grudgingly, not of necessity, not because I have to. And that blessed them very much that people gave willingly. Look at Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah, chapter 8. We're just going over some things in the word that talks about joy. Here, they're rejoicing like crazy because they rebuilt the wall and they got the word of God back and all these things after many, many years. And Nehemiah 8 tells some of how they celebrated the rebuilding of the wall. First, they heard the word. Look at verse 9. Oh, I had to get there. Verse 9, be nice. And Nehemiah, which is the Chishtarchuacha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Sure they did. It had been gone so long. When they heard the word, they had tears of joy in their hearts. I can relate to this. There was several, I don't know how many years it was since I'd heard a class that taught me the word of God, Power for Abundant Living. And it had been many years since I'd heard it. And then I was at a place where somebody played this class. And within, well, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John was about it. I just bawled and bawled and bawled because I had the word of God back that taught me God's word. And here in Nehemiah, they were crying. He said, don't cry, don't weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said, and I bet you they like to hear this, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions unto them of whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Boy, oh boy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, don't cry. I tell you what you should do. Go party. Go eat. Go drink. Go have some fun. Too many times believers are nothing but a bunch of religious nuts. We don't need to be that. We got enough of them in the world. We need to rejoice a little bit. We need to have some fun. We need to enjoy this life that God has given us to live, a life that's more than abundant. So live it. Verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, hold your peace. This day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way. They ate, they drank, they sent portions to make great mirth. Because, and here's why, people. Because they understood the words that were declared unto them. And boy, what a joy that is. When we can understand God's word, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to understand his word. To understand his will is still the greatest secret in the world, that the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. Boy, it just ought to bless our lives. Joy of the Lord should be our strength. Go to Esther. Esther 9, right before Job. Verse 22. Like tonight, for instance, I'm joy and rejoicing. Verse 22 says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which is we turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from the morning unto a good day. You ever have that where it's a bummer, 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 horrible, horrible day? And then all of a sudden something happens, God does something, and woo, you're happy. That they should make them days of feasting and joy, with joy and joy. And of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. They had light, gladness. They were light. They had gladness of heart. They had merriment because, again, they defeated their enemies. And again, our enemy is the adversary. And Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So doggone it. Let's keep beating the bird. Psalms 5. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Boy, to trust God, to love God brings joy to our hearts. Because God defends his kids. It says in Psalm 67 someplace, well, it's Psalm 67. It says, he is my defense. I think it's 67. It's in the 60s. He is my defense. In him I shall not be greatly moved. God is our defense. He's the one who fights for us. He's the one who works for us. He's the one who works in us, the willing to do of his good pleasure. That ought to be something to rejoice about. Psalm 16. 16th Psalm. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Psalm 16, 11, show me the path of life. Says in the word, he'll do that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It says in Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord. What's the rest of that? And he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's right. Boy, oh boy, what a God. What a God to rejoice in. And this isn't just common words. This is the word of life we're reading. Psalm, where did I say go? 16. Oh yeah, show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures evermore. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Fellowship with God brings this. Our fellowship with God, which we'll get into later this weekend, is just so great. Psalm 21. Verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength. O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Rejoice in the strength of the Lord. Go to Psalm 43, 43rd Psalm. Keep your fingers moving. Psalm 43, verse 4. It says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. God was his exceeding joy. Some of my greatest moments in my life is when I'm by myself and talk things over with our Heavenly Father. It's just, I don't know, it's a fellowship that brings joy. This life is very busy. And when I have the opportunity to be quiet with my Heavenly Father, I take advantage of it because, number one, I need it. And number two, it blesses my life, increases my joy, and makes me want to do the things that God has required of me. Yeah. Psalm 51. Verse 12. God's word says, restore, oh gosh, this is great. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, at times, like this past year, there may have been some really challenging times for all of us. And yet, and at times we lose that joy. It leaves us for some reason. But God can restore that joy. It says so right here. I love that verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sometimes joy needs to be restored. Restored means to get back. Get back that joy. I wrote a song a while ago that goes, I got all the joy I'll ever need. I got all the joy I'll ever need. I got all the joy that God has ever given. Come on, God's people, walk on. And it goes on. I got all the grace I ever need. I got all the love I ever need. I got all the peace I ever need. I got all the... I think I write those songs for me more than anyone just to remind myself so I can sing while I walk. Psalm 105. But pretty great lyrically, you have to admit. Get out of the way, Bob Dylan. Psalm 105, verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy. Boy, there it is. If you happen to be an overseer of any sort, you oversee a fellowship, bring forth your people with joy. Hold forth the word with joy. Fellowship shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing. It should be so wonderful. Yeah. Bring forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Be happy about it. God hasn't changed. We still bring forth people with joy and gladness. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Let your fingers do the walking. I know. I know. He's moving. He's moving. Move with me. We could be like dancing. We could just dance together through the scriptures. We dance. Shall we dance through the scriptures? Verse 20. Proverbs 12:20. The seed is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. The counselors of peace. Don't we want to be that way? Boy, somebody's having a rough time and you share with them the scriptures or you pray with them, you put your hands on their shoulders, you tell them you love them. Be counselors of peace because it brings joy. The counselors of peace is joy. Man, that's a great verse. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. And in verse 19 of Isaiah 29, boy, this is a good one. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Meek increase their joy. People that are coachable, people who have a desire to know, people who have a desire to learn, people who have a desire to grow, there's joy there. You know why? Because God fills those people. If Jesus Christ was right in Matthew 5, verse 6, I think it is, he said how God fills all those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, which indicates a meek heart. People that are meek are usually happy people. People that are know-alls are usually miserable. Go to Jeremiah. As most of you know, Jeremiah didn't have too pleasant of a time. He was in prison. He got tortured. He had a tough time. Yet, in chapter 15 of Jeremiah, a very foundational scripture, but one that is just fantastic. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. It says, thy words were found and I did eat them. Not physically, but spiritually. You just chewed them up. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For Jeremiah, he didn't have a lot to rejoice about. Five senses wise, yet the word of God was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. That ought to be our joy and rejoicing. Too oftentimes we rejoice in joy about things that, you know, to God don't mean anything. And that's okay. But think about Jeremiah, what he went through. Something wasn't a party, that's for sure. Go to Zephaniah while I talk for a little while. Zephaniah before Haggai. Chapter 3. If you're not there, just listen. Verse 17 says, if you're not there, just listen. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He's mighty. Boy, those manifestations tonight were just, honestly, I thought they were just for me. I needed to hear those so desperately. What a father we have. What a person. Anyway, he's in the midst of thee. He's mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He'll rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. What a verse. Imagine such a thing. The same God is in us. To will and to do of his good pleasure right now. God takes care of us with great joy. It's his pleasure. It's his delight to take care of us. And boy, we need it. We need to be taken care of. We're not so smart. We're not so bright. These lights are kind of bright, but we're not that bright. We need a God like God to help us. And it's his delight to do so. He takes care and he takes great joy in taking care of us. Why? Because he loves us. Not because we're good. Not because we've accomplished great things. Or not because we're bad. He just loves us because he does. Matthew 2. Heading into the Gospels. Verse 10 of Matthew 2. Got to get there, boy. Verse 10 of chapter 2. It says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They saw that star. They knew that it represented the Messiah, the Savior, which had been promised since Genesis 3:15. And many hundreds of years went by as they remained faithful to hoping of the promise of the Father would come to pass. And here they see this star. They must have jumped out of their sandals. They must have been so happy and so excited with exceeding great joy, it says. Not just joy, and not just great joy, but exceeding great joy. Wow. Matthew 28. These are great. And these are just, again, some of the usages of joy. There's many more. 28, verse 1. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene. And she, of course, was the perfect believer. No, she wasn't. But boy, Jesus Christ sure loved her and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. I've been in those. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, what do you think that looked like? You know, this earthquake, first of all, if you've been in an earthquake, you don't know where you're going. Because you go up, you go down, you go sideways, you go sideways, you go this way, you go that way, all at once. It is quite a sensation. So they had a great earthquake. And Mary are headed toward the sepulcher where Jesus Christ was laid. And the stone rolled away and there's an angel sitting on top. I wonder if he had a pipe or something, you know, I don't know. But it says his countenance was as lightning. Now, I don't know what that means. Don't ask me. Ask Bob Chatton. And his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, you could say, well, why were they afraid? Well, first of all, they just had a great earthquake. That would shake you up a little. Second of all, the stones rolled away with an angel sitting on top of it. I might shake you up. I don't know. Maybe not you. The keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said, don't be afraid. And how many times does that come up? Fear not ye. For I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I could just imagine this. He's not here. Sorry. For he's risen, just like he said he'd be. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly. Tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Wow. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And imagine about that time the angel left because he said what he had to say and he got out of there. He had work to do. And they departed quickly out of the sepulcher. I guess they would, with fear and with great joy. And they ran to bring disciples the word. There was great merriment. There was great joy knowing that the Lord was risen from the dead. Yeah, they knew he told them. But doggone it, they saw him crucified. They saw him bludgeoned. They saw him dead. So they checked him out at the sepulcher. An angel said, he's risen. Go tell everybody. And there was great joy to know Jesus Christ was risen. And not only that he was risen, but they were going to see him again. Woohoo! They're going to lay their eyes on the Lord again. And he wasn't going to look like a bloody pulp. Is that a right word? Patty? Thank you. I didn't ask Jesse. Yeah, Luke 10. Discrepancy from the English majors. Luke 10. Go to 16. Luke 10, 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. Yeah, think about those words. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. It's kind of cool. God's perspective, Jesus Christ's perspective in this case, was pretty cool. You ought to read that again sometime. You won't get so bummed out. And when the 70 returned again with joy, remember he sent them out, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And that's a tremendous thing. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Golly. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice here because your names are written in heaven. Man, what a great record. They had great joy because they saw God's power manifested, and certainly that's good. And Jesus just reminded him, but you ought to really rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. You realize whenever that moment is, when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going. I mean, no more pain, no more headaches, no more heart palpitations, no more fear, no more baloney, no more death, no more anything negative, no more fear. We don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. And they had great joy because they saw God's power manifested. And Jesus Christ said, y'all be happy that your names are written in the book of life. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. Remember this? I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. What a sight! And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Man, oh man. In Acts, it says he was going to come back the same way he left. Boy, what a thing to see. What a thing to see. Wow. They saw Jesus Christ get up. So they were pretty joyful because he ascended. He gave them final last minute instructions on what to do. And they actually did it, which is almost a miracle in itself because there are people just like us. And they did it, and then they received Holy Spirit for the first time, spoke in tongues, holy moly. Acts 8, go to Acts 8. In Acts chapter 7, a man of God, Stephen, was murdered. He was stoned to death. And that was a horrible period of time for the believers because of the persecution that was upon the church. Saul, later Paul, was very instrumental in the killing of Stephen, as well as in haling men and women into jail and everything. And they had to move. They moved locations from Jerusalem to other places. And it says in verse, let's go to verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, and they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down the city of Samaria and preach Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, with unity of purpose, with same thought, same thinking, they gave heed. They paid attention unto those things which Philip spake, because they heard and they saw the miracles which he did. He didn't just talk about them. He acted on them. He manifested power. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed of them, and many taken with palsies were healed. Man, many that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. The great joy wasn't that Stephen died or was killed. The great joy wasn't that they needed to move. They actually moved from pretty nice location to places where there were, you know, there were half believers. Samaria was one of those places. I imagine the housing may have not have been as good as it was in old Jerusalem. Many of them probably had to change jobs. I don't know, but I know it was a big change. But Philip went, and Philip also served tables with Stephen. He was possibly Stephen's one of his best friends. He didn't come and preach how sad he was. He preached the word to them, and he showed them the word by manifesting the word in his life. It's one thing to talk about healing. It's another thing to minister healing. It's one thing to talk about kicking out devil spirits. It's another thing kicking them out. Okay. They saw this, and there was great joy in the city because the power of God was manifested. That brings great joy. You know, remember earlier we talked about beating up the enemy and stuff. Acts 15. Verse 3 says, and being brought on their way by the church, they're going towards Jerusalem, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. And they declared the conversion of the Gentiles, and that caused great joy unto all the brethren. People were so blessed. What? Gentiles got born again? What? They were so happy. Because one of the places they passed through again was Samaria. And again, they didn't all get born again all at once. When they heard that happen, I bet you a bunch of them did get born again as believers. And this happens to us frequently as we communicate with one another, which is so very important. We hear of areas like, for instance, in Ecuador or in Colombia or in Atlanta or New Jersey, even New Jersey, where people get born again. People speak in tongues. People manifest the power of God. People get healed. Boy, what a rejoicing time that is. Boy, oh boy. You know, I could write a volume of books maybe on what I've seen God do or been a partaker in myself. Just this week, boy, some believers got attacked in a horrible way by devil spirits. And boy, didn't God come through for these people. And it was the power of God that did it. It was the power of God. It wasn't the wisdom of man. It was the power of God. And boy, that was worth rejoicing over. Can't share the incident because it's a little graphic. But we get so joyful knowing people get born again, that people get blessed, that people get healed, and people go to Romans chapter 15. This is my normal fellowship night, Thursday nights. So it's kind of neat. Go to verse 30. Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So oftentimes I've seen pride well up in leaders that they'll never ask people to pray for them. They won't. Paul was quite a leader. He asked for people's prayers. He wasn't so prideful, so full of himself. Something. Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted. That I may come unto you, well, here it is, with joy by the will of God, and may be with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. There is something about being with people that you love and that you work with. There's really something about that. He wanted to go see them so badly with joy. And you know, I think of Bob Chatton. He hasn't been able to go to South America for a long time. And I know how much he loves you guys over there. And I know how much you would love to see him. And you know, that day's coming. And that is going to be a time of refreshing, a time of rejoicing, a time of merriment, a time of gladness. I hope there's not 800 teachings. I hope you have a big party. Celebrate with Mountain Dew for Bob. And you guys, you know what you drink. And just have a big old party. It's going to be a great time. I'm planning it myself for Bob. So there'll be just lots of hugging and kissing and dancing. Karen better go, because if she doesn't, who knows what might happen. Just kidding. You know that, Bob. But I know how much he'd love to see you. And I know it breaks his heart that he can't. But I also know how he expects and is looking so forward to seeing and being with you people there. So thankful. You know, there's over 200 of you from South America on here. I'm just, golly, the word's moving, man. It's moving over the world. It's going. It's going. Bob says they're doing better without him. But I don't believe that a bit. But I'm proud of you guys and thankful for your lives. I don't even know you, you know. I think Bob said it tonight. Love can't separate time or place. It, you know, you can't be separated by something. I'll go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. But you get it. Man, you just could, even in New Jersey and around our country, we were locked up for a while. And boy, well, we just did a Pentecost fellowship a couple Sundays ago. We had over 200 people there. And that's the first time we've been able to do that. Man, we didn't even need a teaching hardly, although the teaching was fantastic. People just needed to see each other, break bread together, fellowship together, give, just like Acts chapter 2, verses 47 and following say, the template. So chapter 1, verse 24 of 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Did I say 2? Are you guys still here? That's good to know. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, this is Paul speaking, but are helpers of your joy. Wow. People that lead should assist people in their joy, not make them feel like bird poo-poo, but to help them in their joy. Man, it's all through the church epistles. Helpers of your joy. A helper is a fellow laborer. It's a companion. It's a friend. Leaders are not your enemy. They're your friend. They ought to be your friend. And it also means companion of one's joy. We're helpers. We should help each other and assist each other in their joy. 2 Corinthians 7. Which is probably the greatest chapter in the Bible that I know of, on the heart of reproof. And when somebody changes the way they are to where God wants them, how thankful whoever it was that reproved him was. Look at this. We're only reading one verse, but verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. He sent Titus to see how they were doing. How did they receive his reproof? How did they handle it? How were they doing? And Titus came back. He was so happy. He was so joyful. He told old Paul, he said, Paul, these guys are doing terrific. They changed. And not only did they change, gosh, did they bless me. It's fantastic. We get joyful because other people are joyful. Are we the type of person when somebody tells you how blessed they are, you get mad because you're not blessed? Why the hell are you telling me that? I'm not blessed. No, that should increase our joy. That should help us get out of the doldrums of our mind. We get joyful because other people are blessed. Galatians 5, you all know this one. That's the one in verse 22 where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and so on. Fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. When they see you, do they see joy? When they see me, do they see love? Do they see peace? Do they see all those things? See? They ought to. That ought to be what they see. Our homes can even emanate that because of the love that lives in the home, because of the word that's alive in the place. You could have all the furnishings in the world and the place be cold as a cucumber. Or you could have the lousiest looking place, but have the love of God there. And boy, you just feel comfortable and blessed and peaceful. So part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. People see that gladness emanate from us. It's fantastic. Philippians 1. We only have a couple more hours. Philippians 1, verse 4. Yeah, look at Paul's heart. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. This reminds me of a time when we were living in Missouri, and we used to pray in the mornings like from 7 to 7:30, and we'd have these lists of things to pray for. And the guy that me and my wife are living with, he would get up at 7 faithfully, and he would just take one look at his prayer list, and then he'd go back to bed. And after about 2 weeks, I said, how do you do that? You got a whole bunch of things written down and you go to bed. He goes, real simple. I just take my piece of paper, I pray for it, and then I go to bed. So what kind of joy is involved in that prayer? Not much joy. Man, oh man, we ought to be really blessed to pray for people. In every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with what? Joy. Yeah. So we pray with joy. It's probably one of the most fun times we could ever have is just to pray for people. Philippians 2, verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Boy, that blessed Paul to see people that were like-minded. They were like-minded according to the word. And it sure blesses me, too, to see all these hundreds of people like-minded in God's word. What a blessing. Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Boy, oh boy, what a verse. Look at chapter 4. It makes you joyful when the believers are like-minded. It doesn't make you too joyful when people are always fighting, always doubting, always questioning each other, looking over each other's shoulder. Boy, but it's a blessing to see people that are like-minded and are happy people. It makes you happy. Chapter 4, verse 1. Look at Paul's attitude towards people. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. My dearly beloved, he says it twice. He loved them. God's people were Paul's joy and crown. God's people were Paul's joy and crown. Boy, that's something. God's people are something like you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. Let your fingers do the walking. I know. You should do these exercises every day. 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? God's people caused Paul to have great joy. Verse 20 says, for you are our glory and joy. Paul's merriment, Paul's gladness, Paul's rejoicing, Paul's happiness, Paul's blessed, all those adjectives were God's people. In my life, what brings me the most joy, and this is true and I've said it many times, is watching people grow in God's word and in God's love. It's like an adventure. And when you see people hit a mark, boy, you're just so happy. You're so happy because finally they get it or they're growing. And it could be just one little area, but always look for that because there's plenty of bad to see all the time. But look for the good. And man, it'll bless you so much. And I know in my life, that's the thing that blesses me the most. 2 Timothy 1. Ooh-wee, we covered a lot of ground. Your fingers must be tired. Chapter 1, verse 4. Look at what Paul said. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled to capacity with joy. They got so joyful. They got so glad when they could be with believers. Boy, there's nothing like it. Philemon, chapter 1, Philemon. And I would like you to know that in French, the word Philemon is pronounced Philemon. Chapter 1, verse 7. You know what I don't like is courtesy laughs. Just kidding. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. They were so blessed that these believers were loving. Such great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He was so blessed with this man because these believers got blessed by his presence. He refreshed them. He blessed them. He helped them. He blessed them. And that made for a joyful time. Yea, verse 20. Look at verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels too. You took care of them. I need some help. Bless me. Will you help me out? Will you bless me? There again, Paul requesting for fellowship. Paul requesting for help from a brother. That's a great example. Yeah, joy because believers were blessed and refreshed. Happy, merriment, just everything. It's fantastic. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm almost going to make my time limit. Chapter 13, verse 17. It seemed like hours, didn't it? Verse 17. 17 says, this is a deep one. I thought I'd throw it in. I'm not trying to look for anything in my own life, but it's a great teaching. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, for your lives, for your very lives. That's what good leaders do. That's what overseers do. That's what ordained ones are supposed to do. They watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Boy, what a verse, what a verse. Once you lose the joy of serving, you're missing something wonderful in the word. And he even said that, boy. He said, don't do it with grief, because that's unprofitable. Don't go through the motions because you feel you have to. And this isn't just for leaders. We should treat each other like this. We should take care of each other. And you do. Oversee with joy. Oversee with gladness. What a blessing. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you this eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Boy, there's something to fellowshipping with one another, sharing fully, helping one another, blessing one another. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Look at 2 John, verse 2, I think. No. Verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Fellowshipping with the believers again brings great joy. And as we started in 3 John, verse 4, God has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the truth. So we too can have this great joy, this rejoicing, this merriment, this delight, this happiness, this just incredible, whatever it is, this joy in us by walking in the love of God and just going over some of these things in the word that brings joy. So I thought this would be a good way to open. Father, thank you for your love and grace and for all you've done to us to help us, to bless us. Thanks, Father, for the family you've placed us in. Sure, I'm grateful, God, for bringing this weekend together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless you. Love you. Please remain seated.
Well, that was certainly refreshing, wasn't it? How tremendous just to sit and listen to God's word and allow it to penetrate into the depths of our hearts. And, you know, in Psalm 107, it says that he sent his word to heal us. He sent his word to deliver us from our destructions. And over the course of these next days, we're going to just hear a great quantity of God's word. It's all going to be about these wonderful, joyful topics about how we're God's joy, how he rejoices over us, how it's such a joy to be a part of this family, for how you are our joy and rejoicing. And tonight, as we close out here in a moment, go your way with rejoicing and really expect big things from God. God has never disappointed. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he wants great things for each one of us. So don't settle for anything less than God's best in these days.